Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 12, 2018. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am not muted, but otherwise good.
Yeah.
But now I'm muted.
And, well, you know, when you do the mute thing right at the beginning, I always have this brief moment like, holy crap, did the connection just drop for everyone? Mm. And then there you are. And then my next
all is good with the world.
All is good with the world. Speaking of all is good with the world, John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm here, but I am muted. This is pre-recorded.
That is so convenient. Brian, this means that John can't talk back to you.
Frumpwoggle.
Or maybe he can. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and the sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs, and we'll talk about them soon. But first, let's talk about the iPhone and USB-C. So here's the deal. There's a new report out from DigiTimes, and I know some people are immediately going to hump waffle or whatever it is that John says now. Waffle House.
I can't. So it's adorable. It's Frumpwoggle.
That's right. Hufflepump. Whatever. So DigiTimes has a report out saying that in 2019, Apple is moving to USB-C for the iPhone. And
no, 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 the wonderful world, the world of no, 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 no. Go ahead, please, no, 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 no.
So what we have going on is this DigiTimes report. It's a little bit vague because you can interpret it as we're going to have USB-C on the iPhone instead of Lightning. Oh, see, I paused in case you needed to
the wonderful world, the world of no, 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 no.
Or it could mean that Apple is going to start bundling a Lightning to USB-C cable with the phone, so you'd have a USB-C charger.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
We need to get Steve Martin on here to play the banjo in the background.
That would be really expensive.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. All right. So we've already figured out Brian's stance on this. and before we dissect this, John, what's your quick take?
No, 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 no.
All right, so I'm assuming you mean no for USB-C on the phone?
On the phone itself, but I disagree with your article from this morning about whether there will be a USB-C to USB-A or USB-C to Lightning connector in the box. And the reason I disagree with you because, excuse me, the quintessential traveling duo is a MacBook Pro and an iPhone, and you got this MacBook Pro with four USB-C slots, and you're scrambling around your equipment drag bag trying to figure out in some location where you don't have an AC outlet how you can quickly charge your phone from your MacBook Pro, and you don't have a USB-C to Lightning cable that you can do that with. And besides, putting a USB-A cable into the box, USB-A to Lightning, in the iPhone box is kind of an anachronism because there's hardly any computer Apple ships anymore with USB-A ports, except the old Mac Mini.
I appreciate your logic.
And Mac Pro and MacBook Air.
And probably
because all three of those machines are an embarrassment that should be gone.
Or at least
upgraded. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the cable itself, $19 gets you a USB-C to Lightning cable, and it does support USB-3 speeds. Thank you to everyone that pointed that out the last time we had a discussion about USB-C. Totally missed that Apple's own cable already does that. But I don't think it's going to end up in the box. And John, I love your logic about USB-C is on all of Apple's modern computers, so the cable should be in the box. But the vast majority
of iPhone users, here's where Jeff goes wrong, folks.
Here's the vast majority. Stop talking. It's my turn. The vast majority of iPhone users run Windows. And the number of PCs out there with USB-C is pretty darn low.
So, Apple doesn't. No, man, I'm so with John. This is where you're just wrong. Apple, it doesn't care about... it cares about its iPhone users, their own PCs, but it's shipping products for its products. It's about time that there's a USB-C cable.
USB from Thunderbolt for the iPods. They did it so they could have Windows users.
Yeah, that's fine.
And they want everyone to use an iPhone.
So they may include both.
No, I don't see that happening.
I think there's another reason.
But it'll be US. It'll switching to. Okay, before you get into that, John, let's back up a little bit. Did people that poo-poo DigiDesign need to stop? From the standpoint of DigiDesign is, for years now, has long been more right than they are wrong.
DigiTimes?
DigiTimes. Yes, what did I say? Whatever, DigiTimes.
No, you said DigiTimes.
Okay. So they have long been more right than they are wrong. And usually when they are wrong, it is an issue of, just like with Min-Chi Kuo, who is wrong all the time, it is a situation where they've got information, but they draw the wrong conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
So my point here is there's probably fire to the smoke. And if there's fire to the smoke, it makes the most sense for a USB-C cable to be included in the box than anything else.
I think I know where the smoke is coming from. I read it the other day that there was and I don't remember where, but I seem to remember a rumor about how Apple was going to finally dispense with the little 5-watt plug that has a USB-A port. And that Apple was moving to a technology that would allow your phone to charge a lot faster if you could just push the current through. So the little 5-watt guy that comes in the box, about the size of a thumb, is going to disappear, and there's going to be a wall charger that has a USB-C port. And you connect that into the wall, and you plug your USB-C end into it, and now you can, like a MacBook, you can pump a lot of current through that USB-C connection and into your phone. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that could well be the case. Yeah, so yeah, if Apple were to start including a USB-C cable out of the box, they would also include the charger.
Yeah,
and yes. And I think John's got that exactly right. And can we also dive into, have we actually talked about on this show why it is that Apple will not be moving the iPhone itself to USB-C? I know that you and I
we did about 2 weeks ago. We had this discussion when the rumor first came out. We talked about the thickness factor, about how the USB-C port is just too big and Apple's trying to make the phone thinner.
And it can't control its made for iPhone program, which involves licensing and revenues, a not inconsiderable amount of revenues, unless the connection is proprietary.
We hit on that
That's why we're not even spending time on that aspect of the rumor. So I think John's got it. We're going to have a USB-C block out of the box, and it's going to be USB-C cable out of the box. That makes total sense. Good to go.
Okay, so that does make sense. But along with that, I'm assuming that means, that at that point, Apple is saying, look, we just don't want people connecting their iPhones to computers anymore, because we want them doing everything wirelessly, and we want everything going through iCloud.
So I'm not tracking you there, Jeff, because you could connect your USB-C to Lightning cable and then use it to connect to your MacBook Air and iTunes and do updates.
Yes, you could, but you still have the vast majority of iPhone users that don't have USB-C. Because the number of Mac users that have an iPhone is minuscule compared to the number of Windows users that have iPhones.
Yeah, but Apple pushes the envelope forward for its Mac users and lets the PC world catch up. So I doubt if there would be a concession. Even though, as you say, a lot of Windows users use the phone.
The USB-C power brick solves your issue there, Jeff.
Yeah, USB-C power brick solves the issue. And then coupling that with Apple wants everything done wirelessly and through iCloud. And then at that point, there's no reason to connect your iPhone to your computer ever.
Yeah, and I would imagine that is increasingly true for Windows users anyway, because iTunes is a big pile of poop on Windows.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Yeah, there's that.
Okay, so I'll accept a 2019 iPhone with a USB-C cable, assuming it includes a USB-C fast charger brick, and at that point, we're done connecting our phones to our computers forever. But, you know, now that I think about it, I almost never connect my phone to my computer. Ever.
I do about once a month, I do a backup. And then I used to do a backup like that before I did all these updates, the dot updates, like 11.2 to 11.3. And it's so a waste of time because those updates go so smoothly over the air. But when I do like 11 to 12, I'll do a backup to my Mac of 11.
Yeah, and the only time I connect my phone or my iPads to my Mac is when I do an initial iMazing backup, because it wants you to connect over USB for that first backup.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, never again. All right. So what you guys have done is found a scenario in which I'm willing to accept that we'll have a USB-C to Lightning cable bundled with an iPhone in 2019, and we are all in agreement that there will not be a USB-C port on an iPhone. Just not going to happen.
Correct.
All right. Well, since we have reached an agreement, I'm going to talk about LinkedIn Jobs. And LinkedIn Jobs, okay, so here's the deal. People use LinkedIn for a lot of different things. For some people, it's sort of like a professional social thing. For some people, for a lot of people, it's a platform where they can stay on top of different job openings and look for a new job for themselves. And that means that if you are in the market to hire someone, you now have a target-rich environment. And LinkedIn Jobs is what you would use to find that perfect employee from the massive number of LinkedIn users. I mean, like right now, 70% of the workforce in the United States is on LinkedIn. That's a lot of people. And those people, a lot of them are looking for jobs. So LinkedIn Jobs, you post your job opening, they find your listing. And it turns out that through LinkedIn, prospective hiring firms, companies looking for new employees, they have a much higher percentage of finding candidates with the right skills through LinkedIn Jobs. So if you're on the hunt for that perfect person to fill that job opening you have, what you need to do is go to linkedin.com/TDO, and you're going to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO for your $50 credit. Go there today, and terms and conditions apply. And good luck with that job hunt, because it's not just people looking for jobs, it's employers looking to fill jobs. So thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor. Okay, so the other thing that I want to talk about today is carpool karaoke. And specifically, Brian, before the meeting, I made a joke about, is anyone surprised that there's new carpool karaoke episodes? And you started to go down a path where we realized this should be a discussion on the show and not just in our morning meeting. So take it away.
Well, here's the thing. Season one of Carpool Karaoke from Apple was, shall we say, a bit of a disappointment.
Yep, I was excited about it at first.
I was super excited about it.
It was a guilty pleasure for a while, and then I never made it past the what's the girl? Icky Breaky Heart guy's daughter.
the Cyrus family.
Thank you, the Cyrus family one.
Yeah, right. So, you know, at least in the echo chamber, the show's got a lot of criticism and pushback. I suspect that they did well enough that Apple. So, there's two aspects of this: the fact that they're coming back for season two means very specifically that Apple is either contractually obligated to continue or it performed well enough outside the echo chamber to warrant a new season, right? That, I mean, that's just that's like cutting it to its very basic thing. But here's the thing. I think personally that season one was so lame because Tim Cook, or maybe it was Eddie Q, or someone at Apple mandated that there be no profanity after the fact.
And then they had to go back and
they had to go back and recut stuff, and they didn't do it where they were beeping anybody, at least not that I ever saw.
There was an occasional beep, but almost never.
So here's what I think they're doing with season two. They learned some lessons about how to make that. Yeah, you know, because part of the magic of Carpool Karaoke on James Corder's late show, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, do you remember like all the jokes from like the Flintstones about the Late Late Show and the Late 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 Show?
Yeah, the Flintstones was a show ahead of its time. It was in many ways like Star Trek. It predicted so many things we have today.
So anyway, I think about that whenever I see the Late Late Show. Part of the magic that makes Carpool Karaoke work so well with James Corder is not, of course, James Corder being in every episode by definition. It's the shorter format.
Is it James Corden?
Corden, thank you. I can't believe John didn't already correct me.
I think John was just patiently waiting for you to say it over and over and then embarrass you at the end of the show.
Right. So
front Jimmy, bottom, I wouldn't do that.
Jimmy, the guy on the host of the Late Late Show. So he's on every episode by definition, and it's a shorter format. And of course, that makes it a lot easier to just keep the whole thing to be funny and blah, 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 blah. With Apple's format, it's longer. That presents challenges. They needed to learn from it. But very specifically, when they went to go record season two, everyone was recording with whatever this mandate is from Apple in mind. So they don't have to recut stuff and try to make it sense, try to make it be funny without the bits that they had to cut out. And it's also possible that Apple maybe relaxed a little bit of its mandate, in that one of the jokes in the trailer is a joke about from Ed Helms about the camera pointing at his crotch in the back seat.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not profanity or anything, but you know, it's the tiniest little bit, racy, and that's in the trailer. So I think that Apple learned lessons. I think that the production company, that everybody involved learned lessons, and that they're going to be able to make season two, better than season one was. And that one way or another, it performed well enough, despite the echo chamber's criticisms, to warrant coming back.
All right, I'll accept that. I am cautiously optimistic about season two. I was.
The trailer's great.
Yeah, the trailer.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, the trailer's funny.
It's funny, man. It's a tag. It's a new the movie that debuts on June 15th. That's Friday, which is the same day this episode comes out. And it's the three stars: Jeremy Renner and Jon Hamm and Ed Helms. You know, two funny guys and a very, very talented guy who can also apparently be funny. That'd be Mr. Renner. And the trailer is just fantastic. I'm kind of excited about it again.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the episode, and I'll let you know if I like it. And I'm hoping you're right, Brian, because what you're saying makes sense. It really feels like season one was something that just got rejiggered a lot.
Yeah, got reworked and think about the delay, right? Because it was announced, and you know, and there were rumors, and it was announced, but then it was delayed for months. And that delay of months, I think, was them, you know,
re-editing the entire series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that the episodes suffered for that, you know, it's like overworked dough.
Yep. And going into season two, where everyone is playing with the same rule book, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it should. It should. Plus, you know, also from a production standpoint, also being able to learn lessons from, like, you know, what didn't work in the longer format, and let's fix that.
Yes. All right.
So I'm excited.
Well, I
can't believe John hasn't said anything during all this. I know that he likes it, James.
I think he's still offended that I couldn't remember Miley Cyrus's name.
It's your show, Brian, on this, because I am not a watcher of Carpool Karaoke.
I thought you liked the Late Late Show, though.
When it was Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, a little conflation there for me.
Did you enjoy the cold open songs? Seriously? You don't know the cold open songs?
Mm.
Oh, man.
From Craig Ferguson?
Those were awesome.
Maybe I wasn't referring to it by that label, but was aware of it.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, John is so cool in many ways, but I see these deficits where we can increase his coolness even more. So I have to work on that. And ultimately, John, you will be the ultimate coolness person. I mean, you're already pretty darn close.
Well, I haven't had time because I've been tied up with some stuff on Netflix. I really enjoyed Lost in Space. I'm almost done with Jessica Jones. My wife got me into Battle Creek. We finished up Hinterland. So been watching some other stuff.
That's all right. You've already listed enough shows to prove that you are cooler than me.
I don't think so.
Well, that's all right. I beg to differ, and I bet the audience does too. Anyhow, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Yep.
And
good to be here. Sorry, I should say more. Good to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Hey, it's swell that you're on the show. John Martomaro, thanks for being here.
This message has been pre-recorded. Good night.
You know, that's the best part. John is so cool, he can literally phone in a show. Like, he can just record lines ahead of time and have them randomly play.
Yeah.
And it still works.
Yeah, no, totally. It's awesome.
That's how cool he is. Hey, thank you to our sponsor, LinkedIn Jobs. Head over to the LinkedIn website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get a $50 credit towards your first job posting, and go find that perfect employee. Thank you, LinkedIn, for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.